So we have a great show planned, and Ray Johnson, director of VA and also in charge of Vintage in Review, put together a great show of airplanes this year, and it was very nice of some fine people to bring some amazing examples of vintage aircraft, and one of them sitting right here in front of the Red Barn is a GBQED, very rare aircraft. And this is a replica that was built originally by Jim Moss, who isn't with us anymore, correct?
Right, that's correct.
And then Doug Smith is with us. And Doug, you are the restoration coordinator at the museum.
Mid-America Flight Museum.
The Mid-America Flight Museum in Mount Pleasant, Texas. But you do your work in Urbana, Ohio, correct?
That's right. So that's where our restoration shop is for our museum, is in Urbana.
So tell us a little bit about how this airplane came to be in your possession.
So after 2014, the airplane went back to Seattle, and it was put in a museum. And it was there for a number of years. And the museum, they were undergoing some changes, and so they told the family it needed to find a new home. So the wings were taken off, and it was transported up to Arlington, Washington, and put in a gentleman's tea hanger. And the airplane had been for sale since 2014, and nobody had purchased the airplane. And so the family kept dropping the price, and it finally got to the point where the gentleman that Kelly and I worked for, Scott Glover, decided he wanted to acquire the aircraft. So we didn't even go look at the airplane. Scott told Kelly and me, hey, I just bought a big red and white airplane.
And Kelly is Kelly Mahon, and he is the pilot of this complicated airplane, and we'll talk to him in just a moment. But tell us more, Doug, about the restoration process itself. First of all, you can't call aircraft spruce and order parts for a GBQED.
No,
so
you can't really.
And if you do, they'll just laugh at you and go,
right.
What? Unless it's a deal battery or something.
We weren't really sure what kind of condition the airplane was in. We got it back to our shop in Ohio, and I knew of a couple problems with the airplane. The landing gear we're going to need fixed. It was already starting to have some issues. And when I talked to Rich Aldrich, who was here with you in 2014, he was the pilot at that time. He was on the build team. In our conversations, I asked Rich, did you balance the ailerons? It's a GB. It flies fast. They're kind of notorious for flutter, and he said that they had talked about it, but at the last minute they decided not to, just go ahead and fly the airplane and keep the speed down. And so I knew those were the two big areas that were going to need to be addressed when we acquired the airplane. We got it back into our shop. We found some other things, of course, not too surprising. Some things that we wanted to change. We made a whole new canopy system for the airplane. We altered the aileron system a little bit. And we took the fabric off the rear part of the fuselage, did a little bit of work back there in the tail, put new fabric on it, and here it is today.
What engine is affixed to that beautiful bird?
So it is quite large. It is a Wright 1820, and it's 1,400 horsepower. The original 1934 QED, which still, by the way, exists. That airplane still survives. It's in Mexico in a museum. That had a 700 horse Pratt Whitney Hornet engine on it. So this is double the horsepower of the original one and only QED that came from Granville, Miller, and DeLackner.
And how did you choose that particular engine?
Well, that was what Mr. Moss chose to put on the airplane. And
okay.
And my guess would be is it's off of a T-28B, and so those engines are readily available and easy to get parts for, and so one probably came available to him, and that's what they put on the airplane.
Right.
We're trying and Doug, to keep the wind noise down. I know that you did some work on the landing gear and also the canopy.
Right. Yep. So we built a whole new canopy system for the airplane. The one that was on there, it jammed up a little bit if you try to move it too fast. So we decided, just for safety's sake, we were going to build a whole new canopy system for it. One thing that's unique about this airplane and this GB is there's a spreader bar between the landing gear. All the other GB designs and not many aircraft, something that's this big and for 1930s modern, I'll call it, has a bar between the landing gear, but that's needed. The landing gear is forward articulating. It hinges, the hinge is behind the axle. and it's 23 and a half inches from the point of rotation to the axle. And so any side load on the airplane, if Kelly happens to have a crosswind or land with just a little bit of a crab and put a side load on that landing gear, you need all that structure down there to keep that landing gear from flexing. And so the original 1934 airplane had that on there, and so we wanted to go back with that design to make that landing gear beefier and stronger. One thing that Mr. Moss did, and I'm grateful that he did, is he spread the landing gear 2 feet further apart than the original airplane, because now we fly these airplanes off hard surface all the time instead of grass. And so for stabilizing efforts for Kelly, the landing gear is better. But by doing that, it made that spreader bar weaker. So we augmented that whole system by putting those two landing gear wires on both sides. And now when you ask Kelly the questions, and he'll tell you, the landing gear, it doesn't move, it doesn't flex, it's straight as can be, and it tracks straight down the runway.
So I would imagine originally it was more challenging than a Luscombe Phantom.
Yes, I would think so.
Yeah, well, Kelly, you can't get dual in an airplane like this, and you flew it for the first time. Now, you've worked with Doug for several years, and you have complete confidence in Doug and his team. What was it like the first time you flew the QED?
Well, when I first showed up to fly it, I was surprised that the night before I didn't lose any sleep. I was very calm. And we went out for the first engine run in taxi, and we needed to burn in the brakes. The brakes were barely adequate. And so we went to burn them in, and after my first acceleration and deceleration on the runway.
Airplane noises. This is Oshkosh.
Yay. Yeah, after my first acceleration and deceleration on the runway, it woke me up. It was a beast of an airplane. And so did two runs like that, and then I felt very confident in the airplane to go fly it. But, yeah, it's just another large airplane with a blind sight picture. So the really key thing is we took off, and it was I was just turning crosswind when I realized we had a really nice airplane. And by 5 minutes in, I made a high-speed pass for Doug and the crew. So
that's awesome.
It came alive really quick, and it's been really nice. We made three flights with it, and we tweaked just a couple of things. And so it had a total of 1.3 hours on the Hobbs meter when we took off for Texas. So then 4 hours home. And other than just little fine-tuning tweaks, most of it's like getting the flying wires to not sing. In today's world, there just aren't any 1,400 horsepower flying wire braced airplanes. So,
well, the Mid-America Flight Museum, are you attached to them full time?
Yes, I'm the director of the museum,
and it's in Mount Pleasant, Texas. What's the nearest big airport?
We're 2 hours east of Dallas.
Okay, so if someone wanted to come to the museum, they would. If they don't fly their own airplane there,
correct,
they can fly into Dallas and rent a car and drive over east.
That's okay. Great.
One thing that's really interesting is the relationship between Kelly and Doug. And after he went flying, Kelly invited Doug, and Doug is the only passenger that's ever been in the QED. Would you speak to that, Kelly?
Yeah, it was really interesting because the airplane surprised me at how nicely it handled. And like I say, on landing, once you're on the ground, it just tracks straight and is very nice and forgiving, and no surprises. So after the first flight, we had a group of people around it wiping oil and all the normal stuff. And I pulled Doug aside and I said, you know, we have this ritual. You're always the person to go on the second flight. And this was a bit of a surprise to me that I would offer it on the second flight. And he was more than surprised. And he says, oh, I've been thinking about this. And I told Karen, if he says it's safe, I'm going. And there we go.
Doug, it's emotional, isn't it?
It is.
It really is. Tell us the feeling that you had at that moment.
Well, you know, I had had this conversation in my head, and I was convinced we were not going to ride in the QED. But when Kelly landed and he shut it down, he slid the canopy back, and he said, I would take it home this afternoon.
That's great.
I knew for Kelly to say that, it's a great airplane. You know, nothing needed to be changed, nothing to be adjusted, you know, and so when he said, you want to go along, I said, this is, you can't pass those opportunities up. And so we climbed in, and when he put, you know, pushed the throttle forward, you know, I'm sure you felt it, but I've never felt on a propeller-driven airplane the amount of power in the seat. That was unreal. Absolutely unreal. We flew it around a little bit, got it at a little altitude, and I took the stick. I got to fly the airplane, and it just flies nice, you know.
And it's a culmination of a 2-year full-time project, right?
Yeah. Yep, fantastic. Absolutely. It was great.
Well, we're going to take a break real quick, and then we'll come back and we'll talk just a little bit more about this beautiful 1934 GBQ-ED replica from the Mid-America Flight Museum. Jamon G, we're on the fly at Vintage. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. You're listening to EA Radio.